Welcome back to our Advent retreat on Living Witnesses as we continue reading the book, The Four Teresas by Gina Lair, and we are on page 30 as we read about St. Teresa of Avila.
Her lessons. St. Teresa's great love for Jesus began to flourish when she developed an authentic prayer life. She claims that she didn't begin to pray until years after she had become a Carmelite nun. But surely she had long been praying the rosary, the liturgy of the hours, praying at daily mass. What did she mean by saying she had the love of God, quote, ever since I began to pray?
Meeting Jesus in prayer. According to St. Teresa, one of the church's great spiritual masters, prayer is a matter of coming into living contact with Jesus. It is not just recitation and repetition. Simply going through the motions doesn't deserve the noble title of prayer, and it won't lead to the union of our souls with Jesus. It was only through her living contact with Jesus that St. Teresa began to love him. Before she started praying with sincerity and devotion, St. Teresa was typically preoccupied with waiting for her allotted prayer time to end and listening for the striking of the clock. This is reassuring for those of us who find that prayer challenges our attention spans. St. Teresa actually spent more than 18 years struggling in her prayer, pulled between conversing with God and being caught up in the activities of the world. But eventually she recognized the need to focus on whom we are praying to with our minds, not just our mouths. In Interior Castle, she wrote, "If a person does not think of whom he is addressing and what he is asking for and who it is that is asking and of whom he is asking it, I do not consider that he is praying at all, even though he may be constantly moving his lips." And in the book she wrote especially for the young sisters of her order, The Way of Perfection, she begs them not to address God while they are thinking of other things.
Teresa also compares a person's relationship to Jesus with a woman's relationship to her husband. A good wife knows her husband. She understands him, cares for him, and is attentive to him. When he speaks to her, she listens. And when she speaks to him, she knows the person she's talking to. Because of their personal knowledge, their conversations have the potential to be more than just empty exchanges of words. Similarly, if a soul knows Jesus, understands him, cares about him, and is attentive to him, prayer can be truly meaningful. At the root of prayer is a relationship of love. St. Teresa warns against reciting the Our Father or attending Mass without thinking about the encounter with Christ. Staying focused in prayer requires effort and discipline. It's often easier to daydream, but the soul will begin to experience the presence of Jesus in a deeper way when it engages him directly. St. Teresa refers to the early stages of prayer as frequent solitary conversation with him who, as we know, loves us. Tasting the sweetness of loving conversation with Jesus, even in its simplest forms, makes the soul yearn for more. However, this doesn't imply that prayer will always be easy. St. Teresa refers to the four stages of prayer in terms of the four methods of watering.
The soul's effort to unite with Jesus in prayer is sometimes like drawing water from a well. It involves a lot of muscle power and labor. At other times, by God's grace, the efforts are less difficult, like collecting water from a water wheel. Occasionally, a soul will be able to simply draw water from a river that God provides in his goodness. And if God sees fit, he can even send a heavenly spiritual rain that requires no action from the soul. Since God's wisdom and timing, not our power, bring the heavenly showers, we are to simply focus on that which is in our power. We draw water from the well by staying dedicated to our prayer time and keeping our attention focused until God should lead us somewhere else. But even this stage, with all its effort, can be a joy because it is an expression of love for Jesus. The stronger this loving relationship becomes, the more perfectly united the soul is to Jesus. St. Teresa's prayer life did culminate in the spiritual reign of mystical union with Christ. Evidence of her celestial transports is present throughout her writings. She sometimes interrupted everything to converse with Jesus in the eloquent language of prayer. Yet she remained remarkably down to earth for a woman who experienced divine rapture on a regular basis. At her more advanced stages of spiritual life, Teresa's union with Jesus was so profound that she was aware of his presence in her soul every minute. This is why she thought nothing of pausing to speak with him every now and again. By sharing these intimate moments in her writings, St. Teresa has left us a beautiful testimony to the fruits of loving Jesus with the whole soul.
The significance of the soul. At the interior castle, St. Teresa describes the union of the soul with Christ and the journey leading up to this spiritual pinnacle. This doctor of the church captures the nuances of one of the most indescribable human experiences. Although she struggled to perfectly express the grandeur of the soul's union with Jesus, St. Teresa still offered beautiful descriptions. It is so sublime a favor and such delight is felt by the soul that I do not know with what to compare it, beyond saying that the Lord is pleased to manifest to the soul at the moment the glory that is to heaven. St. Teresa shares about her experience of complete unity with Jesus, but she never claims to deserve these graces. She wrote not to boast, but to help other souls love Jesus and experience this spiritual connection with him. Her readers find practical advice on how to approach this union from a woman who knew that the intimacy she experienced was not something she had merited or deserved. Anyone can be a recipient of this grace in the soul. Teresa knew this because she knew the tremendous dignity of every human person, every human soul. God inspired St. Teresa with profound insights into the nature of the human soul. Faced with the writing assignment given by her superior, that was destined to be her masterpiece. St. Teresa began Interior Castle with an exasperated prayer. She asked God to speak through her, since she couldn't think of anything to say and had no clue where to start. Through the inspiration of this prayer, she came up with one of her most famous analogies.
I began to think of the soul as if it were a castle made of a single diamond or a very clear crystal in which there are many rooms, just as in heaven there are many mansions. See John 14, verse 2. Now, if we think carefully over this, sisters, the soul of the righteous man is nothing but a paradise in which, as God tells us, he takes his delight. In the center and midst of them all is the chiefest mansion where the most secret things pass between God and the soul. If this castle is the soul, there can clearly be no question of our entering it, for we ourselves are the castle. This analogy encourages us to recognize our soul as something beautiful, as a place where God takes delight. He loves us enough to want to dwell in the depths of our being. He desires to be as close to us as we are to ourselves. This realization made St. Teresa long to transform her soul into a fitting place for the presence of God himself. St. Teresa also speaks philosophically about the soul. She often refers to the faculties of the soul, the intellect, the will, the imagination, and the memory. As she describes the various stages of prayer that she experienced, she explains how they affected each faculty of the soul. Except for the most sublime experiences of union, St. Teresa's soul was not completely united to God because the faculties weren't all behaving. "My will, I believe, is good," she wrote, "but this intellect of mine is so wild that it seems like a raving lunatic. Nobody can hold it down, and I have not sufficient control over it myself to keep it quiet for a single moment." But St. Teresa persevered in prayer even when she experienced such distraction.
Throughout her writings, St. Teresa employs the word soul almost interchangeably with self. When a soul has reached this point, she might write in reference to a person who prays well, or this soul longs to be free. She might declare of the longing she felt in her whole being for union with God. St. Teresa believed the soul was the core of human identity. For her, loving God with the whole soul meant loving with the whole self, the whole being, everything one has to give. According to Teresa's analogy, there are many rooms in the castle of our soul where this love is meant to bloom. We move through the outer rooms before we arrive at the innermost chamber. This movement is part of the process of growing in love. The most interior room represents the closest union with Jesus any soul can have this side of heaven. The fullness of the spiritual life. St. Teresa describes this great unity between Christ and the soul as the spiritual marriage. As we move from the outermost rooms to the innermost rooms of our soul castle, we proceed along the path that prepares us for the deepest, most unitive prayer, where Jesus wraps our whole soul in his love. But the journey doesn't happen automatically. St. Teresa arrived at this point after many years and much effort. And when she did, the love of God consumed her soul.
I got to be honest, what we've read so far today is pretty powerful. So let's keep our discussion down to a minimum today, ladies. I'd like to encourage everybody to go back and re-listen to this portion of the book again, because there's so much great information contained within this section of the book. But we're all in a different place in our lives. We've got everything from small children all the way to grandparents between the five of us and everything in between. Veronica, I think you probably have the youngest ones here at the table. How do you squeeze your prayer life in and around your six kids?
It's a combination of, right, like knowing that things are going to get interrupted sometimes with other needs and things. I know Matthew, he's often praying early in the morning. For me, often it's more at nighttime that things are kind of quiet for me, or I can pray or do a spiritual reading, or learning to squeeze in the little things. Like I've realized you can even pray a Divine Mercy Chaplet in the pickup line, you know, waiting for school. And just, you know, just what are these little moments during the day I can lift my heart to God? Or can I listen to, you know, a retreat or a podcast or something when I'm doing dishes, or trying to get to daily mass as much as I can, and just trying to remember what Teresa says, that it's not the repetition and recitation, you know, of words so much as that living contact with God and knowing that he loves me and telling him I love him, finding those ways to do that in the day.
I think there are seasons too. And I think, you know, when I think back of my season of pregnancy, childbearing, nursing, sleep deprivation, toddlers, diapers. When I think of that season, which was a long one for me, it was just such a different place in my spiritual experience. It was, for me, it's a very challenging time carving out prayer time. I mean, I don't know, maybe if I lived that life again, I could figure out how to do it. But I'll tell you, when I was journeying in the thick of it, I sure couldn't. And I think having an incredible amount of compassion and sympathy for people in different seasons of their life with whatever God has given them, whether that's caretaking or whether it's dealing with illness, whether it's dealing with young children, there are times when carving out this contemplative half hour, hour of prayer, it just seems like an impossibility. While I think that it is the goal and it's super, super fruitful, I think there really are times when it just can't be done, and we have to find those other ways. Veronica, a lot of specifics there you're giving are super helpful too. Just finding those other places and ways where the day can be touched and colored by connecting with God and remembering what we're about. That being said, I will say that once I was in a season in which I could start having extended periods of carved out conversation and listening with God, it transformed my motherhood in a way I had been begging for and pleading for and missing for a decade. The gifts and fruits of the Spirit that I was really lacking and knowing that I needed began to be able to take root when I started having a daily prayer life that was really dedicated. And so there's compassion and sympathy for the seasons when you can't do it, but gosh, there's also a call and an invitation to prioritize it as much as possible. If you can get up early, if you can stay up late, if you can.
Veronica, I like how you take advantage of the little windows throughout the day to include prayer in your life. Great, great tip. When my kids were little, I'm one of the grandmas in the bunch now, but when they were in elementary school, we had a 20-minute ride to school. So we took advantage of that window of time to pray our rosary every day, first thing out the door on our way to school. So look for those special little opportunities throughout your life, throughout your day, when you can just take a moment and incorporate prayer, you know, invite God to be a part of your day. You know, today's reading was great. Again, I want to encourage everybody to go back, listen to it again. But I got to tell you, tomorrow, Gina shares with us some nuggets from St. Teresa of Avila on how we can help develop that intimate relationship with Christ. It's all coming up during this Advent retreat where we are reading the book, The Four Teresas by Gina Lair on Living Witnesses.